Okay, our speaker is Claire today, who will now share her experience, strength, and hope on the altruistic and spiritual solution. Claire, would you like a 5-minute warning when your time is almost up?
Yeah, that'd be great. Thank you. How long am I supposed to share for? Sorry, I didn't even ask that.
20 minutes.
Okay, lovely. Yes, please. 5 minutes would be great towards the end.
Okay, go ahead. It's all yours.
Thank you so much. Thanks, everybody. So my name's Claire. I'm an alcoholic, I'm a compulsive eater, and I'm a chaos creator, controller, and fixer. Nice to see everybody. Thank you for inviting me to this meeting. And I was just literally in that little bit of meditation, kind of, you know, trying to ask my higher power, as always, you know, just to help me share something that's useful to everybody else, you know. And I guess that is the altruistic, isn't it? I looked up the definition of the word altruistic before we started, and it says unselfishly concerned for or devoted to the welfare of others. And, you know, I guess that word unselfish, isn't it? I suffer from a disease of self. So the solution is going to definitely be something to do with unselfishness. So I was asked to do this share, and I was asked to, you know, sort of come up with a little subject. And I've recently gone back through the doctor's opinion with somebody just as a bit of a an exercise, really. This lady was offering to share, and I just wanted to hear how she did it. And as always with the big book, you know, every time I go through it, I hear something different. You know, every time I go through any of the chapters, I get something different. A different word pops out at me, or, you know, some sort of thing. And this particular run through, you know, and I'll just read the paragraph, actually, because I think it's quite nice to go straight back to the book. So I'm on page XXII, certainly in this little one, anyway. I've only got my little pocket-sized big book here. And it says, though we work out our solution on the spiritual as well as an altruistic plane, we favour hospitalisation for the alcoholic who's very jittery or befogged. More often than not, it's imperative that a man's brain be clear before he's approached, as he then has a better chance of understanding and accepting what we have to offer. And I think there's so much in that little paragraph. You know, the first thing it talks about is our solution. And I kind of think, if I'm going to be pursuing a solution, I really need to understand what my problem is. You know, I need to have a good grip on what my problem is. And, you know, when I came into the fellowship, as I said, I've sort of got three hats, I suppose, to my particular addictions. I'm sure I've probably got more. I'm sure there might be more of them lurking. But, you know, I was 17 when I first came into the fellowships. I was in a lot of trouble with drinking. I drank the way I ate, the way I did everything, which was to get to oblivion as quickly as possible. You know, the function of alcohol was to get drunk, as far as I was concerned. There's never been any sort of yearning and hankering after a lovely glass of white wine with the beads of condensation on the sides. That's not the way I drink. You know, I drank by smashing the top off the bottle because I didn't have a corkscrew, and then picking the bits of glass out of my mouth. You know, that's the way I drank alcohol as a teenager. And, you know, the long and short of it, and I had an eating disorder right from the off, you know, really right from the off. The youngest memories I have of food related. So the long and short of it was I ended up in a 12-step treatment centre when I was 17. So I've been around the programme far more of my adult life than I haven't, you know, which is lucky for me. But it's been it's not been a linear process of recovery, that's for sure. It's been sort of gradual stages. And, you know, I don't think I understood what my problem was for many years, even in the fellowship. I don't know if I didn't hear it or if I just wasn't in a place to hear it. But it was only when I heard Joe and Charlie study, which was many years into recovery, that I started to really sort of understand possibly what was kind of going on. And by that point, I suspect I was in Overeaters Anonymous by that point, which I've struggled in. You know, and it talks about physical allergy and the mental obsession, and you know, very very clinically in many ways. And I'd never really taken much notice of the doctor's opinion. And it, you know, what I love about the doctor's opinion is it's very much, here is our evidence. You know, this is written by a doctor at the time. She's 80 odd years ago now. And you know, to this day, no one's really come up with anything that you know, that contradicts what he said at that point, which is that he had observed in many, many alcoholics, he'd been a leading doctor in a specialist alcoholic hospital for years, and he had observed this sort of thing, that there was a certain type of alcoholic who just couldn't help themselves, who had a physical allergy, something happened to them when they started taking on certain substances, which meant that they couldn't stop. And then they had a mental obsession, like people have an allergy to seafood, but they don't go on, they don't go and obsess about prawns and decide that, so they have coupled with it a mental obsession, which meant that every single time, they went back to the substance. And, that was something that took me more years to understand. And, even when I came and, put the food down. So again, finally understanding that that's what happened to me with food as well, certain food substances and behaviors. Even then it left me with the problem of my chaos creating, which again, I hadn't understood as the problem. And it was only through Big Book Awakenings actually, and going through the process there, that I started to understand again that the problem, I always thought my chaos creating and my codependency was me being a bit rubbish at the program, and I wasn't good enough at the program and I should try harder and take on more sponsees and take, that was sort of how I approached that. And, the problem then was explained to me, the physical side of it. I couldn't understand what the physical side of that sort of addiction was. But when it was suddenly explained to me that the adrenaline and cortisol, that my behavior, my codependent behaviors kicked out in my brain, all of those sort of stress hormones and excitement hormones and dopamine and all this sort of stuff, that once I started chaos creating, I couldn't stop, suddenly that made sense to me as well, based on the background of having gone through the process with food and alcohol. It really helped me to understand that that was what my problem was. And I think what really also changed for me around that was, looking at my self-reliance. I have an addiction essentially to self-reliance, to self-reliant behaviors. And, the solution therefore is not more self-reliance. It's not really trying harder. It was a proper surrender. And so really getting step one finally was about also about just, that I, step one doesn't mean for me, don't drink, don't eat, don't chaos create, it's like that sort of writing lists of what I shouldn't do anymore. Step one became that stuff will inevitably happen. That is absolutely 100% inevitable. And I will get myself back into those states unless I'm working out my solution. And the solution is not self-reliance. The solution is the spiritual and altruistic plane. And I just really love the way it says here, spiritual as well as altruistic. Because that's, the physical solution, my abstinence, my not drinking, don't take a drink. I have an abstinent food plan. I'd love to say I abstain from chaos creating. I really don't. That's really still such a process of me of learning and repeatedly getting it wrong, to try and, hone in. I am definitely better than I used to be, but I do still find myself in chaos creating without really meaning and knowing how I got there. The solution to that is not that treats the physical aspect of my disease, that treats the physical, but it doesn't treat the mental and the spiritual malady. I need a spiritual and an altruistic program. And then it goes on to say, we favour hospitalisation of the alcoholic who's very jittery, be fogged. More often than not, it's imperative a man's brain be cleared before he's approached. And, to me, that is the physical abstinence. That's what I need. That's why I need to be abstinent, because if I'm overeating, if I'm indulging in behaviours, if I'm up, then my brain isn't clear and I cannot address and embrace the spiritual and altruistic brain. I'm just too fucked up with the stuff, and I need to understand and accept what there is on offer. And understanding and accepting to me is just another word for surrender, really. I just, I need to surrender to it. I need to absolutely throw my hands up in the air and go, my self-reliance doesn't work. It doesn't solve my problem. It's not the solution to the problem. My broken brain and will not fix my broken brain. I cannot solve this problem on the level of consciousness that was created. And, that's the function of the steps. So I guess what I was wanting to really talk about is the spiritual and altruistic side of this. Got the doctor's opinion again. He goes on the next page even to say, We feel after many years of experience, we found nothing that has contributed more to the rehabilitation of these men than the altruistic movement now growing up among them, you know. So, and there's loads and loads of references in the big book, and I, you know, in an ideal world, I've gone through them and found them all, but there's hundreds right from pretty much the first page about, you know, how, you know, we need to be giving this thing away. We need to be carrying the message. We need to be working with others. And that's certainly been my experience, is that everything I say, everything I've do within the program, I've learned from somebody else, you know, everything. and the same sort of thing is that, you know, the solution to it is to be unselfish and to try and give this to somebody else, you know. That's what I have to do. That's what's on offer here. That's the deal right from the off. And that was certainly explained to me in Big Book Awakenings, you know, is that, you know, the deal is right from page one, when I finish this work, I need to be giving it away. And that's needs to, you know, as I go through the work, I need to be constantly thinking of how am I going to give this away when I finish? You know, how am I going to better, you know, be more effective? And the other thing I just wanted to read as well, just going on to altruistic, is on page 19. And I really love this, actually page 18 to 19. You know, because I was thinking about, you know, how we are most effective. And it says, there's many times in the book it describes how we can be most effective as well. And it says here, you know, the ex-problem drinker who has found the solution, who's properly armed with facts about himself. So again, we need to understand what the problem is, can generally win the entire confidence of another alcoholic in a few hours. Until such an understanding is reached, little or nothing can be accomplished. That the man who's making the approach has had the same difficulty, that he obviously knows what he's talking about, that his whole deportment shouts at the new prospect that he's a man with a real answer, that he has no attitude of holier than thou, nothing whatever except the sincere desire to be helpful, that there are no fees to pay, no access to grind, no people to please, no lectures to be endured. These are the conditions we have found most effective. And, you know, it was explained to me that this is a description of how we can best be effective in working with others. And, you know, certainly the latest sort of Big Book study that I've done, which isn't quite Big Book Awakenings, but a very similar process. You know, this was what something we were directed to very early on, was look for this, you know, look for this in people you're working with. Look for this as a benchmark to how you work with other people. And I really love this. You know, it's like no lectures to be endured, no access to grind, because I've had experience of sponsorship, both giving and getting, where there has been, and it's not been effective. It just leads to a relationship where there's hierarchy, and you know, I've got fear of being honest with people, really, and that's not actually terribly helpful. I think I've leapt onto the altruistic a little bit. I wanted to talk about spiritual too, because you know, when I came into the program, I was very much an agnostic. I was very much, you know, I didn't have anything against the whole God thing, but it certainly wasn't really what I thought was going to be the problem to my bulimia, which was what it was at the time when I came back in. You know, I didn't really think God was going to stop me as I opened the fridge door and had a look in. And I couldn't really get my head around. I could kind of see that God might be the solution for some people, but it certainly wasn't really going to be my thing. I kind of thought, I don't really have that, you know, that element of I don't know, I just kind of, it's a bit like hypnosis. I'm just not the sort of person that can do that. And I spent, certainly on my first go through the steps, an awful long time hung up on step two, on step, you know, what was my higher power going to be, you know, how was I going to work this, was this going to be something I could do? And you know, it's been my experience that you know, the process of doing the steps leads to the spiritual awakening. And there's loads and loads of terms in the big book, which are a lot more gentle and a lot more all encompassing. You know, we've got in the back of the book, there's a reference to, you know, a personality change sufficient to bring about recovery. You know, it talks about psychic changes. It also talks about spiritual awakenings and spiritual experiences. So there's really room at the table for everybody and anybody. And I think, you know, for anybody that may or may not be struggling with this, with that sort of, you know, how am I going to get this very, I thought it was a very elusive thing as well. And there's sort of, it's almost like, you know, some people just got it, some people didn't. I'm aware that there's people here that aren't UK, but back in a few years ago, there was an advert in the UK for the National Lottery. And there was this big finger that came down and it says, it's you. And I used to feel that in the program that, you know, some people just got it and some people didn't, and it was real luck. And if you sat around enough meetings long enough, that thing might happen to you. And one day someone was going to say something somewhere that was going to sort of be it. And I'd have this spiritual awakening and this burning bush moment. And yeah, that's really not been my experience. My experience has been, I've needed to do the work. I've needed to trust the process. I've needed to repeatedly do the work, actually. Each time I've done the work, I've got a slightly deeper understanding and experience and infiltration, I suppose is probably the right word, for my higher power in my life. And, you know, what's really been amazing to me is that I can feel very connected when I work the steps to whatever it is in this moment that I can be connected to, you know, my power, grace, power. Perfect, thank you. But I still don't actually really have a definition of that power, and also that I don't need to. I really don't need to. All I need to do is continue to put the work into doing the step work. And, you know, the long and short of it is, you know, the crux of that problem is, you know, or the crux of the spiritual solution, as far as I can see, is to make a decision to allow myself to be really open to that. And certainly that's something, you know, rather than trying and striving and putting more work in and doing more assignments and, you know, this sort of thing, is my process recently has been much more to permit and to allow and to just stop and let that power infiltrate all areas of my life, to get out of self, you know, stop playing God. God doesn't run around playing Claire, as someone said to me a few weeks back, and I love that. I think that's really funny, you know, and just allow that power, you know, to infiltrate me. And, I, you know, my job is to try and keep that channel clear. And I do that through the process of inventory, prayer and meditation, you know, and the other things it suggests in our steps. And then that leads me on to step 12, you know, which is the altruistic stuff and, you know, working with other people. And, you know, I don't always feel like doing that. I really don't. I have got a disease of self. And, you know, particularly with my chaos creating, I can get pretty busy and I can get pretty self-absorbed in that busyness. And it can be, you know, sort of vitally important. I do all these things on my list that make me feel okay in a day. But what I do is I work with people anyway. And you know, it's certainly my experience is that, you know, often I'm stopped in my tracks. Often it makes me pause. Often it makes me say to other people, you know, so also not say to other people, but during the process of sharing with other people and trying to carry the message, it reminds me of what I'm not doing myself. And it is truly a bright spot of my life. You know, I don't always feel that when I get on the phone, but I usually feel that when I get off the phone. And, you know, it's a real privilege to see other people, and you know, it's a really exciting thing as well. And the definition, when I looked at it, you know, sort of the other definition was showing a wish to help or bring advantage to others. You know, I don't always wish to, but I always do by the end of it, and I'm always feeling terribly privileged that I, for some reason, I who have been so terribly broken in life, you know, how that experience, you know, those really painful moments, of really just not knowing how to live my life with or without this disease, can be useful to somebody else. You know, it can be a useful thing. It's probably the most useful thing I have to share, actually, is my authenticity and, you know, my mistakes as well. The times I've messed up in this program, you know, the times that I really haven't got it right. Those actually can, in the end, become my most useful moments, you know, with another person. And they can be that real, and I'm sure everybody here is experiencing it, and I really hope you do if you haven't, is that real sort of true connection with other people, you know, true connection with another spirit at that level, you know, true understanding of where they're at, where I'm at. And that's just something that I don't think you get in normal life, if you like, outside of the fellowships and outside of this program. So you know, and I think, you know, this connection, isn't it, that I think I've heard it said that the solution to addiction is connection. And I guess spiritual and altruistic mean those two things, is connection to my higher power and connection to other people. And you know, I can only do that, I guess, when my food is down, my food is clean, I'm not drinking alcohol, clearly. I've had a number of years free from that. And when I'm not caught up in my chaos creating, and you know, I need to be constantly again in touch with other people to really remind myself of that, and to be just authentic and genuine about where I'm at. I hope that wasn't too garbled. It felt a little garbled, but I will leave it there. And it's really lovely to be on this meeting and to see your faces. And I will, I'll park it there. Thank you.
Great. Thank you so much. I'm going to stop the recording.